to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day as we face the issues. It is our prayer each day that the information would be educational, informational, and inspiring. Many times I've had people to say things that you say I've never heard before. Issues that you discuss I've never heard discussed before. And ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, I believe it's time that as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, that we become involved in societal system, that we be salt and light, that we might help deter the decay and illumine the darkened world in which we're living in. I believe there's a need for that. I've said many, many times, as I've quoted Psalms 146 and verse 3, put not your trust in princes, nor the sons of man, in whom there's no help. Our faith and trust ought to be in the lordship of Jesus Christ. But at the same time, we need to recognize we're in a real-world scenario. And as such, we need to be involved so that we can be salt and light as we're charged with the responsibility of being in the Scripture. But as we face the issues, we do so. Listen, let me remind you, perhaps you're a new listener. As we face the issues, we look at societal, theological, doctrinal, biblical issues, as well as what's called political issues. Keep in mind, God created the home, He created the government, and He created the church, and in that order. So anything that we discuss in those three categories covers the totality of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. God's Word covers it all. And I believe it's time that we, as pastors in particular, become responsible for warning, and warning again, those in our congregations and those in the public in general about what is happening, why it's happening, and what we see taking place. This is the reason today we're talking about an issue that I think is largely forgotten by multitudes, a failure to warn. A failure to warn. Listen, let me just go through a few little things to set the stage as we face the issues today. Our cars are built in with beepers, warning systems, warning lights, low on gas, engine overheating. In many of the newer cars today, there's a warning notice that will pop up on the screen, or a beep will come up, and you look at this screen and the vehicle, and it suggests that you stop for a while and rest. I'm amazed. In fact, the first time that happened on my car, there was a beep, 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 and I looked down at the dial and says, stop and rest for a while. Those are warnings. What if we had an automobile that you buy and the automobile manufacturer tell you that the brakes do not work, the lights occasionally are bad, except you wouldn't buy the car, would you? If you were to be told today that you don't have to worry about the weather, it'll just pop up at its place it pleases, and it's okay. But ladies and gentlemen, we have a national weather warning system to warn us of the storms coming, the rains coming, the hail or the thunder or the lightning or the tornadoes or the hurricanes. All of this warning system. Today's high-tech systems are warning us about just about everything that's built in life. Everything that we have. just about all of your appliances have some kind of warning system or some kind of beep, 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 or your cell telephones or your televisions, etc. We're in a society today of high technology with warnings built into them of some kind. So we're going to talk about that today. Failure to warn. Let me pause for a moment. Would you take any medication, just simply blindly popping the pill or any injection without having a warning attached to it of the side effects? You can watch television 24/7, and the main ads that you'll find are the pharmaceutical ads. Big Pharma owns and controls the overwhelming majority of the television networks, with the mega billions of dollars poured into them for the advertising of the pharmaceutical products. But if you'll listen to those ads, and my bride laughs at me, she said, "You like to see the ads." Well, I can tell you just about all of the ads. I can tell you just about all of the pharmaceutical products and the side effects. They will show somebody on a jet ski out on the water having fun. What it tells you, how this product, if you take it, could make you lame, could cause you to go blind, could cause you to lose your ability to walk or talk, or even you could die as a result of it. Those are warnings. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, during the COVID crisis, we had a failure to warn the public. We're going to talk about that today. What is now the end result of a failure to warn? With the mega millions that have died from COVID and the millions that have been sterilized, paralyzed, or dead as a result of the COVID vaccination and no warnings. That's where we're going today. That's the issue we're going to talk about today. And I'd love to have you just, if you don't mind, and I usually don't put this limitation on, let's limit our conversation with our callers focused on the failure to warn in relationship to what happened during the Biden administration with COVID and the forcing of the people, the citizens, to be forced to take a vaccination or a product without consent, without an informed consent as to what could happen to you. Multitudes died in the hospitals because friends, families, neighbors, and relatives could not come in and intercede for them. They had to accept and take and receive whatever the doctors and the nurses said was needful and necessary to jab in the arm, put in the medications that they're to swallow, that in many cases killed the patient. And there were no informed warnings. There was no information given that would say, "John or Susie or Sally, if you take this medicine or if you allow me to jab this needle in your arm, it's going to kill you," or the potentiality of that. It's horrendous. And we're just now finding out those things that we said back 3, 4, 5 years ago that we were considered conspiracy alarmists. Facebooks were shut down. Social media were shut down. You were taken off Twitter, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If you told the truth about what was happening, we were shut out completely. Multitudes of nurses, multitudes of doctors had their license canceled, removed from the practice because they spoke the truth about the COVID shots and the COVID protocol. That was warning. But the warnings were hushed, the warnings were silenced, the voices were squelched that could not be heard. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to discuss that in depth today, and I'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts? Did everything go smoothly? Was it okay? Would you still accept? Would you still take? Would you allow any physician to put a jab in your arm and at the same time tell you this could cause myocarditis, this is called pericarditis, that's heart ailment, heart disease, this could kill you? Would you let them put that in your arm? I would say that you wouldn't. Perhaps you would. If you would, call me, tell me. I'd love to hear from you today. If you say, "I believe COVID jabs are safe and effective," that's the lie. We were told that the COVID jabs were safe and effective, 97%. Some even said as high as 98.5%. Was a lie. How do you feel today? What would you do today? Perhaps you lost loved ones, as I did, our family did, as a result of the deception and the lie called COVID efficacy, which was an absolute 100% lie. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117:2 says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." I don't know about you, but I like that forever. We know that we can depend on God's word. God never fails. He's never late for an appointment. He's always on time. He's never before time. He's never late, but he's always on time. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the truth of the Word of God. George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And listen, that could not have been more relevant at any other time in history than during 2020, 21, 22, 23, when, ladies and gentlemen, mega millions, I believe on a global basis, about 8 million people died as a result of COVID, and it could have been avoided. And I say that very directly, and we'll talk about it. And millions are paralyzed, sterilized, or died as a result of the COVID shot that was supposed to protect them from getting COVID, and it did not. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to stick to the truth. Truth is what will set us free, according to the Word of God. But yet we see a headline that says, "Most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth." Listen, if there's no absolute truth, where do you go for the differentiation and the argumentation in relationship to any court case that you've ever seen? Where do we go for truth if we're talking about moral, ethical values? Where do we go for truth if we're talking about political astuteness and political priorities? Where do we go for truth? What is the arbiter? The final arbiter can be nothing less than the Word of God. But yet the millennials today, 18, perhaps you fall into that category and you say, "That doesn't include me." That's wonderful if you're excluded from it. But the survey shows that 55% of the millennials believe that each person determines his or her own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth. I go back to, and I've quoted thousands and thousands of times, a quote from the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, to listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And I believe that is vital, needful, necessary today. If no other time in history, it's needed today. Standing on the truth, speaking the truth, loving the truth, and being willing to defend it even to death. Perhaps you say, "Well, if I stand for truth, I'm standing by myself." Wonderful. If I stand for truth, no one else will stand with me. And that's generally the case more often than not. We need to recognize that truth counts whether you have those that will go along with you or not. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, bear with me for just a moment, and I'll wrap up a monologue that sets the stage of where we're going. And let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, our cars are built with a warning system. Our weather system is built in with a warning system. One of the best things that could have happened from the weather warning system multiplied millions in the past 30, 40, 50 years, ladies and gentlemen, have been saved from harm and death as a result of having a warning system that says the hurricane's coming, a tornado's coming, bad weather's coming, sleet, snow, rain is coming, floods are coming, et cetera, et cetera. Now, recently, there have been some and some parts of the Midwest where they say that the warning system was not quick enough, that they did not get a large enough, long enough period of time of warning. But yet there's the warning that's needed. But yet during the COVID vaccination fiasco, ladies and gentlemen, there was a failure to warn. Listen, when the doctor gives us a prescription for something, some kind of medicine, and something medically goes wrong, we have a package. Listen, every medicine that you take, either on the bottle itself, the box itself, will have a warning telling you the side effects. Some of the medications that I've seen over the past years, you get through reading the warnings of what can happen. You wonder, should I die this way or this way? With a warning. The warning labels are there. Did you realize, ladies and gentlemen, during the height of the COVID fiasco, that doctors were administering remdesivir, by way of intravenous medication? They were giving it to the patient, and there was no warning. There was no telling them that this remdesivir will destroy the lungs, the heart, the liver, and the kidneys, and you can die. In fact, there was a cliche going for a while where the doctors knew that, and as they were about to administer remdesivir, as they were about to administer it to the patient, a whisper to the nurse to be, run, death is near, run, death is near, run, death is near. That was the little saying that some doctors had, knowing that it was going to kill the patient. But yet on the CDC protocol, doctors were required to go by the CDC protocol to get the, if you please, the mother load of funding as a result of following the CDC protocol. An average patient that was entered into the hospital as a COVID patient, the average hospital would get somewhere between $350,000 and $500,000. And if that patient stayed there long enough, it was a mega million-dollar patient before the death came of the patient. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article. I'll read a portion and then start taking our calls. The noble lies of COVID-19. Do we want public health officials to report facts and uncertainty in transparency? Or do we want them to shape information to influence the public to take specific actions? The article goes into detail, and I'll just give a blurb or two. During the first year of COVID-19, leaders were faced with an unknown disease amid a politically sensitive election in the era of social media and the preconditions for noble lies. They're calling this throughout this article noble lies, became especially fertile. Not surprisingly, we witnessed several examples. More than anything else, these examples illustrate the destructive potential of such noble lies. For example, in 2020, Dr. Fauci participated in a second roundtable of noble lies. In December, he explained in a phone interview with the then New York Times reporter Donald McNeil that he had been moving the target. Listen, Fauci admits back in 2020 that he'd been moving the target estimate for herd immunity based on part on emerging studies. But he also said, and I quote, when the polls said that half of all Americans would take a vaccine, I was saying herd immunity will take 70 to 75%. Then, when your surveys of 60% or more would take it, I thought, I can just nudge this up just a bit. So I went to 80 to 85%. In his own words, he nudged his target range for herd immunity to promote vaccine uptake. The potential for such deliberate misleading messages to backfire became more obvious. Key opinion leaders, agencies, and Centers for Disease and Prevention all articulated some version of this. Once you're vaccinated, nothing changes, implying that experts did not know if it was safe to relax precautions and restrictions, such as mask wearing, social distancing, after immunization. Surveys find that the interest in vaccinations increased if people were told that the only means to stop masking. Ladies and gentlemen, they discovered that fear worked. If you do not want to continue to wear a mask, if you do not want to continue social distancing, if you do not want to continue with business shutdowns, if you do not want to continue with persecution and prosecution, if you do not wear a mask or social distance, then let's take the vaccine. That was the design, purpose, the plan, and the protocol that was used during the days of the murdering of millions with the COVID vaccines. And ladies and gentlemen, the latest number was about 8 to 10 million globally died from COVID, and about 1 million to 2 million just in America died as a result of the COVID vaccine. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
How are you, Dr. Youngblood?
Doing great. Pray that you are.
Doing well. That whole period I went through, and I listened to you quite often during that period, and I called in quite often during that period. And I was ostracized because of my stances on that vaccine. And anybody that would listen to me, I would tell them not to get it. My brother just passed away early February of this year. Surprise, surprise. He had to get vaccinated because Biden told him, and he was a government worker. And he had an enlarged heart and passed away from a massive coronary. My sister, who was in healthcare, she took both of those, and she has had continuous health problems. I watched her go from a very healthy weight, probably a little bit on the overweight side, down to barely over 100 pounds now. So I'd say she probably lost about 70 pounds in the last few years, pallid, sickly, constantly getting sick. It's been a very tough time. I know from your personal experience what you related on through the airwaves with your son and what you had to go through up in Virginia. And it was tough being ostracized, and even to this day I'm still ostracized and looked at as being some kind of hooligan or troublemaker. And it reminded me when you said that there are people that say, oh, where are you hearing this? I've never heard this. You haven't heard it because your head is in the sand and you need to wake up and look around. And then it's the ultimate and the very last thing that I need to state on this is worship the created instead of the creator. There are so many diseases in the human world that once you catch it, you don't catch it again. Yellow fever, for example. The plague is another example there. Smallpox, German measles. I can go on and on and on through these diseases that have afflicted mankind through the centuries there, that once the human body, which God created, had beat that disease, you don't get it again. So these people came and said amongst themselves, Fauci in particular and the pharmaceutical industry there, we are going to create this. And they totally disregarded the creator and the creation. All right, we are wonderfully made. God designed us, built us, made us like this. Yeah, it's terrible.
Absolutely. And one of the things, Jim, if I can keep you on the line for a moment, I'm looking at a headline, comes out of the UK. COVID-19 vaxxed getting cancer. Tens of millions are dying. This is an article from the UK. Tens of millions are dying as a result of the COVID vaccination. Cancer and heart failure are the two major results. And what the general public was never told, we were never given the facts. There was a failure to warn the general public that if, just laying everything else aside, the COVID vaccination for the younger age group, I'm going to just arbitrarily and capriciously use the number 18 to 40, 18 to 45, were sterilized as a result of the COVID vaccination. Dr. Wise, that worked with Mitchell Hospital, which was a division of Yale University, said in March of 2020 that it was mass genocide that was taking place. Of course, 2 weeks later, he was summarily fired for telling the truth. Those doctors, those nurses, those hospitals, those medical workers that took a stand and said, this is deadly, this is dangerous, and it ought not to be, they were put out of the hospitals and they were shut out of the medical practice and refused to be allowed to be heard because they were telling the truth. It was all covered. In fact, I'm looking at a headline, Jim. I'll read it and get your take on it. America's COVID, that's America's COVID response was based on lies. Let me just read a paragraph. Almost all America's leaders have gradually pulled back their COVID mandates and their requirements and closures. Even in the states like California, which had imposed the most stringent and longest-lasting restrictions on the public. At the same time, the media has been gradually acknowledging the ongoing release of studies that totally refute, hear me, that totally refute the purported reasons behind those restrictions. Those overt reversals is falsely portrayed as learned or new evidence. Little acknowledgement of the error that was made and now being found. We have seen no public apology for promulgating false information or for vilification and delegitimization of policy experts and medical scientists like myself. This, by the way, is a scientific writing. It's from Dr. Scott Atlas. Dr. Atlas was personally maligned, publicly maligned, laughed at, mocked at, demeaned by the media experts, the Marxist media, and he was refused to be able to go forward with a medical license and was put out of many, out of his work, his profession, as a result of taking a stand. This article goes on to say, we've seen no apology from the promulgating false information. He says here, delegitimization of the policy experts and medical scientists like myself who spoke out correctly about the data, standard knowledge about viral infections and pandemics and fundamental biology. We have seen a macabre Orwellian attempt to rewrite history and to blame the failure of widespread lockdowns on the lockdown's critics along absurd denial of officials' own incessant demands for themselves. End quote. Jim, what we're finding now is what I've said the entire duration of COVID. And I harped on it day and night, as the old cliche would go on the radio broadcast. I invested hundreds upon hundreds of hours of research to talk about the issues and the lies that was being perpetrated against the general public to try to force people to take the vaccination. And we're seeing now the results of it. What say you? How should we respond in the future? Let's just do some hypothetical. What if the government says tomorrow there's a pandemic that's taking place, you've got to all line up and get the jab in your arm? How would you respond? How should the public take it? What should we learn from past experience?
Absolutely not. I was absolutely no before. Senator Ron Johnson, if you watch any of his hearings in the last few days there, you could tell. I'd read the same papers that you had read. I was calling in agreement with you back in 2020. I understood the dangers back then, and I understood that there was a voice that was crying out to expose this truth. And all I see today is they're just walking back. Yesterday's hearing was about the CDC, how they toned down the side effects.
Yes, absolutely. Jim, it demands our attention. We should recognize fully what's been done to us as Americans and say no for the future. Jim, thank you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. We've got the top of the hour news right after the news. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University.
WTRJ, Orange Park,
WAYL, St. Augustine, and WATY, Folkestone.